There are many calls indeed for the Sunday Times to reveal the sources implicated in its Katermanna Death Squad series of articles if it's found they deliberately lied. Now, you'll know the papers apologised for running those tainted scoops in 2011. They've turned out to be largely false. But Sunday Times editor Bongani Sitkoko has penned an editorial acknowledging the newspaper was used as part of a political project. Now, last week, a piece by Anton Harber, the adjunct professor in journalism from Wits, appeared in the Daily Maverick. It was entitled, "The News Media Industry Needs to Clean Up the Rot in Its Own Ranks." Professor Harber joins us now. Prof, good evening to you, and thank you very much for your time. I mean, you've seen the editorial that the new Sunday Times editor, Bongani Sitkoko, has written. He appears to have made a full apology, but is it enough, in your opinion?
Good afternoon, Joanne. I think that what he published was a very brave and bold first step, an important and essential step to acknowledge the problem, to run the full story from General Boysen, in other words, the side of the story that they didn't fully and properly cover until now. But I think that there's some outstanding issues. The one is, if he says they were played by political forces, I think we all want to know how and why and what was it in their system that allowed this to happen. I think we want to know if individuals are being held accountable and responsible for allowing this to happen. And I think we want to know what they're doing to ensure it never happens again.
Should the shamed journalists be forced to give up their sources, or do you think that could set a dangerous precedent for the future?
Yes, I don't think journalists should be forced to name sources to whom they have obligations of confidentiality. But there are questions here about whether one should protect sources who have misled and abused that relationship. In other words, the source itself may well have broken the agreement. I think part of the problem here is that for some of these journalists, the sources were not their own. And the journalists who brought those sources to the table no longer work for the Sunday Times, so it becomes difficult to track that down.
Some are implying it wasn't mere ignorance on the part of journalists like Stephen Hofstadter or Mzilikaziwa Africa, who wrote these stories, that they had actually been bought off. I mean, what should our reaction be if that were true?
Look, if there is evidence that they actually got bought off, got actually paid to do it, then we need that on the table and we need to deal with that. I've only seen that as unsubstantiated allegations, because that would be very serious for the whole profession. Were there people in the Sunday Times team who were caught up in, I suppose, what we can call the state capture project? I think that's a real question and a real issue, and that is one that needs to be answered, because on this particular story, the problems went, you know, it was not a once-off. In the case of the SARS story, it was 32 consecutive stories.
Exactly.
So it looks like more than a simple blunder or error. That's their problem.
You know, the outcomes of that are also so serious. I mean, we're talking about the ruining of people's reputations. Some of their careers have been ruined virtually entirely. There's probable irreparable damage to SARS. Their losses to the fiscus as a result. When one weighs up all of those consequences with an apology, I mean, should there be some kind of further consequence? Should there be legal action, an inquiry? What should it be that deals with such serious consequences?
I believe there must be full accountability by both the newspaper and the individuals involved. Nothing less than that. But, you know, I place this in the context that there are a number of media institutions that in one way or another appear to have been compromised by the state capture project. And I believe that it's an industry problem of credibility and trust, and yes, that the media, the news media industry, needs to start its own inquiry into these cases, and tell us exactly what happened, why it happened, and how we need to prevent it happening. So I think we need to see it as an industry problem.
So, Prof, I'm interested to know what kind of form this inquiry would take, because we know we've had one such inquiry already. You, Paula Frey, Franz Kruger, Monli Makanya were involved in the previous one in 2007. I mean, was that effective? Would you say that could translate well to something we need right now in order to get to the heart of these problems?
Look, I believe that was we produced a very good report there that, if fully implemented, might have helped avoid a recurrence of the problem. But it was an internal inquiry with a limited mandate. And I think it needs to be a fully independent inquiry. It needs to be a fully open inquiry. And it needs a full mandate to take on these issues across a number of media companies, some of whom have done much worse things than the Sunday Times.
I mean, and you actually name three other instances in this article of what you say need examination. You're talking about a multi-choices deal with the SABC and the Gupta media outlets. You're talking about the compromised situation at the SABC journalistically and financially. And you're talking about Iqbal Surve's Sekunjalo independent newspapers and the PIC. Are you saying these are some of the most urgent things that we need to convene a tribunal in order to explore, for us to be able to get over and go forward as the media?
Yes, I think in each of those cases there's evidence of it being part of the state capture project. So an inquiry would need to be wider than the journalistic issues of poor reporting and poor editorial control. It would need to look at the nature of these deals and wider issues in the industry.
What would be the consequences for journalists found guilty at an inquiry of this nature of not doing their jobs properly, either through negligence or through bribery or other willful circumstances?
Well, if there's a series of bribery, then one would hope that it's referred for prosecution and that such journalists are expelled from the community of journalists and never find work in the media again. But I think one has to look at each case. It can range from that, I suppose, through to a rap on the knuckles, depending on each circumstance. But I've no question that there needs to be full accountability, and that it's better if journalists do that, or the media industry does that for itself, rather than leave it to the Zondo or Nugent commissions.
Thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. That was Professor Anton Harbour, adjunct professor in journalism at Wits University.